Have you ever tried to share the good news of Christ with someone who has no intention of believing like you do? Well, I have, and let me tell you what I'm finding. What I'm seeing with the ideological shifts that our culture is taking today is that much of the kind of evangelism involves a conversational type of evangelism. That is our need today. And if you think of it this way, think of it like gardening or planting a seed or even cultivating it and then also reaping a harvest. You'll find out that it's very biblical based on the soils parables of Matthew 13 and Luke 13. But when we think of it this way, unfortunately, there are those who are still insisting on using older and tried methods back from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and so on for sharing the gospel with those who have no intention of believing what we believe as Christians. Now, I want to let you know the results vary, and we're going to talk a little bit about this more on the Let's Get Real podcast. My name is Rob Lundberg, and you are listening to the Let's Get Real podcast. Welcome back to the Let's Get Real podcast. My name is Rob Lundberg. And, you know, when we talk about doing evangelism today in a post-Christian culture, you know, I was trained my graduate degree in lots of ways of doing evangelism. But as I was in Schenectady, New York, and dealing with people who had no intention of believing what Christians believe for that matter, I found that I had to change gears a little bit. And of course, my friend David Geisler has come out with his book, Conversation Apologetics, that he wrote with the late Dr. Geisler, his dad. And we were doing that back in the 90s a little bit, and just dealing with the fact that incorporating apologetics into the evangelism. Now, I get it. Some people will say, well, you can't argue somebody into the kingdom of heaven. You know, I get that. But I'll tell you right now, in a post-Christian culture, when you're dealing with people who are antagonistic to the gospel, if you think that you are doing evangelism without apologetics, my friend, you are not doing evangelism. And I've said it, and I know I'll probably get some heat from this. But if you and I have ever tried to share our faith with somebody, and all of a sudden they have objections, you cannot stay on the same track of going and sharing, say, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and Romans 6:23, you know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, when we talk about the gospel is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first few verses of that chapter. Well, Paul says, what I have received and what has been given to me, I pass on to you, the gospel that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose on the third day according to the scriptures. Well, you know, today with our pluralistic culture and many different religions and of course, cosmic humanism vis-a-vis the New Age movements that are available to the smorgasbord of our culture of spirituality, and of course, anybody that believes what they believe spiritually, they are going to have to basically defend it if they really, really believe what they believe. So if you're talking to a Muslim, a Hindu, or somebody who embraces cosmic humanism, you know, why are they that and not a Christian? So as Christians, we kind of are behind the eight ball when it comes to understanding how to talk to people who are antagonistic to the gospel. And I mentioned in the opening that it's kind of like gardening. You go and you plant the seed. You think of the parable of the sower. You can go to Matthew 13 and look at the parable of the sower, Luke chapter 13, and talk about that as well. If you've got a good study Bible, you might find it even in Mark's gospel. But nevertheless, they're the same parables by the gospel writers, and you notice that the seed is the word of God, and that the seed is planted on different types of soils. One is rocky, one is hard, one is thorny, and one is fertile. So that is a depiction of the hearts of man. So what I've gone and done, over the last week or so, I went and I did a blog post. You'll find it on August 3rd of at roblundberg.org in the blog section. You'll find that I've gone and given you some ideas to think about from the fruit of my understanding of the Proverbs. Now, when we talk about the Proverbs, they actually give you some wisdom about how to, well, deal with people that are hostile, people that are antagonistic, people that are hard to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what I want to do is I want to give you about 8 different thoughts with regards to this. And with that, I will point you again, and I'll have a link in the link of this podcast that you can go to that and get the ideas that I'm going to be sharing with you in our show today. First thing I want to talk to you about is the fact that you and I cannot trust our own wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." And I'll tell you, there's a lot of things out there today that look pretty good. But really, when you start looking at the underbelly of that animal of ideology, you find out that it's got scales like the dragon. For one thing that you and I need to remember, while we may have a lot of evidences to present, we aren't that smart. It's easy for us as Christian apologists, as evangelists, to trust our own background experience, our own education, and our own wittiness for that matter. And yes, we should be diligent in our studies, and yes, we should also know our stuff. But the fact of the matter is we will never have all the answers and know what to say all of the time, and we have to trust the Holy Spirit in the conversation. We need to lean on God, and we have to lean on His understanding and ask Him for the wisdom that we need for engaging the hardened skeptic and unbeliever. So that's the first one. The second one is much like it. You know, whenever you're talking to somebody, you know, and they're going and pontificating their idea, we need to understand, number two, that we do not correct the one who is scoffing about our Christian faith. Proverbs has also got something to speak to this in chapter 9, verses 7 through 8. "The one who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself, and one who rebukes a wicked person gets insults for himself. Do not rebuke a scoffer, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise person, and he will love you." What do we mean by this? You know, honestly, I struggled with this in early in my ministry. And sometimes we find out that we will lay what I call lay an egg when it comes to the fact that somebody is saying something and they're just so adamant, you just want to jump in and say, "No, that's not right." What you want to do is you want to let them speak, so that way you can get an inkling as far as where they're coming from and know where to get into. Now, we cannot know what people are thinking, but we can use God-given discernment to determine when we come across somebody who is scoffing. Now, scoffers are people who don't want to have a genuine conversation, and for that matter. And of course, you know, I talk to people who are scoffing, and you can tell by their body language or even their words that they are just basically, one, if they're just, by their body language, they are just basically, they stiffen up. Their body language changes. They just basically listen to you. But what they're doing is they're looking through you. And only God can know really whether or not what you're sharing with them is going to take root. But scoffers are people who don't want to leave a genuine conversation. They don't want to have a genuine conversation. Some will ask you a question to see if you have an intelligent answer to that question. Many are seeking to ridicule and even slander their opponents. With a little bit of experience, it will become easier to spot scoffers before you get too deep into a conversation. According to this proverb, though, sometimes we do more damage by correcting someone that doesn't care what we have to say. So don't be afraid to end the conversation when the scoffer emerges. Number three, don't let their insults get to you. We were downtown Fredericksburg a week or so ago, and there was this one guy that was just ridiculing and bashing. We were walking, we asked him if we could give him some literature. One person had a Gideon New Testament. And this one person, he just was like really, really ridiculing us. And I just started kind of like laughing to myself, like, this guy here is a fool. And, you know, you don't need to let the insults get to you. And I've been to two Reason rallies up in D.C. where all you have is basically atheists, agnostics, skeptics, apatheists, and anti-theists. And every so often you run into an anti-theist that will just ridicule you and not even let you get a word in edgewise. And I love talking to those folks who have no intention of believing what I believe as a Christian. Every so often there will be some excitement from someone who is hostile to the Christian faith, or from someone who's so confident that their skeptical views are true and that they are so snide in their remarks. Now, I will tell you, on the surface, it might bother you. At the same time, I don't let it bother me. Part of the reason is that I am that confident that the Christian faith is true is because it is contagious. Am I bothered that skeptics are like that? Absolutely. But my faith in Christ is rooted deep in the historical truths, and the existential reality of a living relationship with Jesus Christ, allowing me to walk in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I want you to understand something here, though. I get it that it is easy to take offense at comments from those who are hostile to the Christian faith. But as for those who do listen, but will still not believe, one thing that we need to do is we need to pray for them. Those who are hostile and who refuse to listen to your reasons for the hope that you have, we need to pray for them as well and remember Jesus' words in Matthew 10:14. If anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or that town. So we've been through three of these already. Number four, it's very important that we do not overstate our case. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17 has a thought to this. One who declares the truth tells what is right, but a false witness, deceit. One of our goals as apologists and evangelists is to present the best case as intelligently as possible. Now, this does not mean that we should present our case with more confidence or certainty than we actually have. More importantly, we should never present, quote, evidence that is misleading, that is inconclusive, and just plainly false. What we need to do is we need to be honest when the evidence for a particular point we are trying to make is not strong as we might think. After all, poor arguments are not going to help anyone, and believe it or not, skeptics will pick up on that, and you could find yourself in an unexpected pickle, or even what I like to call lay an egg, to where you have to retreat from the conversation very quickly. Number five is very, very important. We should be quick to listen and slow to speak. So with this thought in mind, number five is think before you answer. Proverbs 15 verse 28 says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. As obvious as this seems, God put this in scripture for a reason. In the heat of the moment, especially when your character is being attacked ad hominem style, it is easy to blurt out the first thing that comes to your mind. Instead, it's important that we pause and think about what a person is really saying. And we should never be afraid to say, I don't know, let me research and think about this and get back to you. But at the same time, if they are hostile, if you're going to tell them that they're wrong, you need to tell them why that they're wrong before you go and just say, well, hey, you're wrong. That's not the right way to approach it. Sometimes giving an answer can be worse than no response at all. For example, you don't want to list out, say, the 10 cold theodicies to someone who just lost their spouse. Pray and seek the leading of the Holy Spirit on how to answer the objections to their faith or their lack thereof. Number 6, it goes alongside this. Listen carefully to the other side. In Proverbs 18:2 and 18 verse 13, we read this, a fool does not delight in understanding, but in revealing his own mind. That was verse 2. Verse 13 goes on to say, one who gives an answer before he hears, it is foolishness and shame to him. Now, being a $1 apologist, I am certainly not an expert in doing every area of apologetics. I hold to a classical model of apologetics and not a presuppositional view. And I do that for reasons because I believe that the classical model will be able to take any objection based on the 12 points that we shared in our series and be able to go and respond with gentleness and respect whatever objection that we have. Again, I'm not an expert, but I do know that we are wasting our time if we never give the unbeliever a chance to talk. We must hear their stories and their arguments and try to see things from their perspective. And that's not agreeing with them. All we're trying to do is see where they're coming from so we know how to be able to give a fit answer to them. Some folks who use traditional ways of evangelism see this as avoiding a gospel presentation, but nothing could be further from the truth. Do you remember the parable of the soils that I mentioned in the very beginning of our show? Matthew 13, verses 1 to 23, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20, and Luke's gospel, actually it's Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 25. I believe we need to see evangelism in our post-Christian culture through the eyes of gardening. I mentioned this earlier. But with the rise of skepticism in this country, it is easy to see that sometimes the soil of heart of a hard heart seems to be broken, needs to be broken down and retilled. Sharing the gospel with someone who is skeptical is not going to necessarily work apart from divine intervention from God through His Holy Spirit. Now, please note, I am not looking to change the message. All I am saying is that we need to reevaluate the methods so that the unchanging message can push through. And that means we need to engage the person and hear what their beef might be about the Christian faith, and then look for a way to invade that objection with a clear way to clear the rubble and share the remedy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Apologetics is not getting our views and opinions out there and halting the conversation. Folks, we need to listen carefully first and give the one you are seeking to share the truth with a fair shake. Now, this does not mean that we agree with them, as I mentioned just a moment ago. It is okay to acknowledge a good objection or admit that when you are wrong. That's when we get egg on our face. However, honesty and integrity in the conversation does go a long way. Also remember that people have opinions, but not all opinions are correct. The truthfulness of the Christian faith and the gospel is beyond opinion, and we need to remember this. Number 7, do not rejoice when your enemy falls. And do not let your heart rejoice when they stumble. Number 7, do not make it about winning arguments. That's Proverbs 24, verse 17 that I just read. I have always loved the saying, you can win the person and not the argument. I also remember the reminder given to us by the late, great Dr. Walter Martin when I was involved in the counter-cult movement. For those who are concerned about winning the argument, Dr. Martin said, you can win the argument and you can lose the soul. So when dialoguing with a skeptic, our goal isn't to trip them up or rejoice when they're proven wrong. We aren't about scoring intellectual points or showing our superiority. Sadly, I've seen too many Christian apologists rejoice seeing the other side fall. I've seen some go as far as ridiculing the person's intelligence, and we don't need to do that. When an unbeliever makes a misstep in his argument, use that opportunity to pray for them. Ask what God would use this experience to show them, ask that God would use this experience to show them the error of their way and lead them to a knowledge of the truth. And lastly, number eight, commit your work of apologetics and evangelism. Apologetics is pre-evangelism. What that is used to clear the rubble. Apologetics is used as discipleship. It's also used as strengthening the church, equipping the church, but it's also used in engaging those in evangelism. Commit your work in apologetics to the Lord. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. You don't have to be a jerk being an apologist or an evangelist. You don't have to try and pigeonhole the gospel or try to drag somebody to the foot of the cross in 8 seconds or less, like you're riding Red Rocks in a bull rodeo. Yes, Red Rocks was actually a bull in the movie 8 Seconds. If you've ever seen that movie, I would actually invite you to watch that movie. It should be on YouTube by now. But don't forget our motivation in doing apologetics and evangelism. We desire others to trust in Jesus Christ, and we know that only God can draw them to a saving knowledge of Christ. If our work in apologetics is for our own glory, then we will certainly fail every time. If we engage with unbelievers to please God alone, the Lord will establish our ministry. Please understand that you and I are not responsible for the salvation of the lost. That is the role of the Holy Spirit. But these are just some of the proverbs that I've shared with you in our show today that have been helpful for me when engaging unbelievers. As Jesus commands us that we must be wise as serpents and harmless or innocent as doves. You can read that in Matthew 10:16. But I pray that as you have you've listened to our show today, that these will be words of encouragement to you, that you will be able to have some confidence in going and sharing with somebody. Even though you might not have all the answers, don't worry about that. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit to give us answers in the right time and the right moment. But at the same time, I would encourage you to go to my website, roblundberg.org, go under the resources, go to the videos. We just put our videos page where I have them now categorized by subject matter, and I'll be adding to that as I find short little videos. There's a whole bunch of apologetics videos that after you watch one, you'll see some others that are related to that video from other ministries. We tag team with other ministries to be able to go and equip you for the works of ministry so that you can go out and give people heaven. So until next week, you know, we go out and we are placed in all kinds of environments. And the Holy Spirit uses us. I pray first off that you have a devotional time. I'm in Romans chapter 8 right now, and I'm going through that verse for thought by thought, verse by verse. And I'll tell you, God's blessing. I've been through chapter 6, chapter 7, and now I'm in 8. And I'll tell you that if you go and you understand, number one, who you are in Christ, Number two, who that you are in Christ and that you're positionally in Him and that you have your eternity sealed and that you are just maintaining your walk with Him. Let me tell you, God will use you. The devil can't really touch you unless he's got God's permission, but you can't be possessed. Oh, you can sin. You can even fall. But the war is already won by the blood of the cross, and your responsibility and my responsibility is to repent daily for where we when we fall. So as you go out this week, as you go through your work week, as you listen to the show possibly on the road to work, if you drive up the I-95 on the way and you subscribe to our podcast, thank you. If you're driving east to King George and take the route that I take, and you're listening to our show, thank you for listening. And as we go out and as we share, no matter where God has you, whether you're in Virginia or any of the other 50 states, please note that we are here to serve you and be able to equip you. So if you do have any questions, you can reach out to me at roblundberg315@gmail.com or go to my website at roblundberg.org and go to the comments or even on the first page. Send us a comment, send us a thought on this podcast as you listen to it. So until next week, this is Rob Lundberg for the Let's Get Real podcast. As you go out this week, you be open to listen to the environment around you, whether you're online, offline, at work, or wherever God has you, in the coffee shop, wherever. And as you do, get those German Shepherd ears ready to go up and hopefully be able to find an inroad to a conversation where you will be able to get the unchanging message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody in our changing sidewards culture. So till next week, this is Rob Lundberg. We'll be back with you next week, Lord willing. God bless you. Go out and give them heaven.